So tonight, we are going to do a sit rep. No, that doesn't have to do with your gym. Okay? You know, you back at the gym, you sit and so long, you can keep sitting. How many repetitions of sitting can you do? It's a sit rep. No, that's not it at all. So the military ones here know what a sit rep is, right? A situational report. Well, a sit rep, a military terminology, right? It's used in the U.S. and the U.K. military. So it's a sit rep. Give me a sit rep. What's the situational report? What's going on? So tonight we're going to do a sit rep. Why is that? Because you're all in the army of God.
Amen.
On the day you were born again, you enlisted in the army of God. And this is not an army that goes out for 4 years and fights and we quit. Okay? This is not an army that goes overseas and fights for a few months and comes back. You are in this army 7x24. Okay, 7x24. You have a job to do, and God has provided us everything we need for this army and for this mission. And a good high-level look as to how you're doing in the army, it's this. Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have it better than you have ever imagined. So to the extent that your life is not better than you have ever imagined it, to that extent, the other part of that verse is true. But the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if your life is not better than you have ever imagined it, if you're not moving more and more into the wonderful, infinite variety and power of the Holy Spirit, then the devil has been stealing from you. And maybe you don't even know it. But God wants you to have a life that's abundant, that is better than you have ever dreamt of. That's an Ephesians 3:20 life, where he does for you more than you ever dare ask, think, or hope. That's what God wants for us. That's where God wants us to live. That's how God wants us to function as we prepare for these ending days. Because God has prepared for you and me things that have never entered our minds, our hearts, we've never seen with our eyes, that God has prepared for us. I mean, much of my Christian life, I never knew that God has already made me a king and a priest. And then when I started learning about it, I hear them teaching that God has made you a king or a priest. That you're a priest if you're a minister. Otherwise, you're supposed to be a king supplying the priest. Where do they get that stuff from? Bible says God has made you already kings and priests. He's given you the power to get wealth. All the wealth to get power. He wants you to have the spiritual power, which is priestly, and the kingly power, which is material. He wants you to have both. He created you to be more than a conqueror, a super conqueror. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. You're called to walk as manifested sons of God. You're joint heirs with Jesus. Things that Jesus did, you can do and greater. So where do we get this stuff about we have a little bit of a life? No, we have it all. In fact, it was created for us. We are the most precious thing in the universe because we were paid for by the most precious price, the blood of Jesus Christ. So every once in a while, we need to do a sit rep, a situation report. What is going on in our lives? And so I know that you all love quizzes and tests, so I could not resist preparing some quizzes and tests for you guys. I can't take you to a target range and have you shoot a target, okay? It wouldn't be good if I took you into a really dangerous situation and shoved you into it and see how you did. You know, a long time ago, maybe 2 decades ago, 4 lustra or 5 or 6 lustra, I don't remember. A lustra is 5 years. For those of you who are not educated enough to watch John Wayne movies, okay? Okay, John Wayne movies, they're always talking about a lustrum and a lustra, 5 years, okay? So that's how I learned it. I heard it. I said, what is a lustrum? So I went and looked it up. It's 5 years. Okay? So about maybe 5, 6 lustra ago, I was doing a crusade in Watts with Rosie Greer. My friend Peter Parker and I were putting together this campaign. And so we had this night crusade in Watts. Went on for 7 days. It was pretty awesome. But on Saturday morning, there was no meeting Saturday morning. I think it was Saturday morning. One morning there was no meeting. So Peter and I said, well, we're down here anyway. Let's go down to the projects and minister. No, this was a long time ago when it was really dangerous. Okay? I'm trying to think. I guess that was shortly after the big watch riot. I think it was shortly after. So anyway, Peter and I decided we're going to go down there. So we invited some people to come with us. Two other people who said, okay. Everybody says, no, we don't want to go down there. It's too dangerous. And I forget the name of the project. So one person said he'd come. So next morning we showed up. And nobody showed up but Peter and me. So we decided to go down to the project. Now, what I had done is I'd gone to the bank and I'd gotten a whole bunch of $1 bills. Like, I don't remember, $200, $300 or so, $1 bills. So I split them between Peter and I. Probably was $300 because I figured there was three of us. One didn't show up, so Peter and I got like $150 each. So I went down this, and Peter is white, and I am, as you see me. Okay, I wasn't much different then, except I was maybe a bit older then, but okay. My youth is renewed as the eagles. So we got down there, right, and we park, and the first door I knocked on, this girl opened the door and looked at me, and her face kind of went pale. Get out of here. Get out of here. I said, what? She says, get out of here. Get out of here. I said, why? She says, get out of here before they kill you. And that's not the most friendly greeting in the world, but at least she was trying to help me. I said, no. I said, we're okay, you know. I said, God is with us. I said, what we're doing is we are inviting people outside, and everybody who comes outside, we're going to preach the word of God. We're going to give them some money. So here, you know, tell people there's somebody out there giving them money. My gosh, we got a crowd. We had this huge crowd. And Peter and I preach. We must have led, I don't remember, 200 or 300 people accepted the Jesus. And we had a big kiddie swimming pool, plastic swimming pool, a big one. And we were baptizing people in this swimming pool. It was awesome. It was awesome. You know, not one person said anything bad to us. Nothing negative. You know, it was just really awesome. No. See, that's a good test. We're talking about tests, right? Now, would you rather sit here and take a test on paper and have me take you to some dangerous area and push you out of the car? You follow what I'm telling you?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let me tell you, God has pushed me out of the car on several occasions. And you know what? It's been awesome. Some of my best testimonies is when God had me get out in some really bad areas. Okay. So, I'm going to read a question, and as I read it, you can read it there in Philippians. And the internet people will hear the question. So the first area on the sit rep is know your weapons. Know your weapons. Now, before we take the quiz, let me just read two scriptures to you. You don't need to turn there, but you can if you want. The first one is 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. And you don't need to turn there. In fact, I'm going to start in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. You all know the scriptures. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Notice, it's saying you're in a war. And it's saying your war, your weapons are not physical, carnal things. But your weapons are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. So what are we supposed to be doing? Pulling down strongholds. What's another everyday name for a stronghold in your life? A bad habit? How about a bad habit? What? A bad habit? A sin? Okay? All you people here don't sin, but you have bad habits, right? Okay? Pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So every thought that comes into your mind that does not agree with the Word of God, or the Word of God in your heart, you're supposed to pull it down and stomp on it. You cast down every thought, every word. No matter who says it, no matter whether it's coming from the spiritual like a demonic voice, or coming from the natural like the voice of a doctor, or from your family like somebody who loves you but want to tell you what's best for you, which contradicts God's word. You ever been there? People love you, tell you can't do that, but you know the Bible says you should, right? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought. We should bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Let me tell you, I affirmed this scripture long, long time. And did it help? Yes, it did. It helped a lot. But it didn't help as much as some of the stuff we learned in healing school. But when I started to do them, my thought life just became peaceful. Peaceful. I almost never have a bad dream. If I have a bad dream once a year, that's a lot. I never have voices arguing in my head. I don't have fear and torment and things running around like, I wish I should have done that and I should have, would have. You know the kind of stuff? I used to have them. I don't have them anymore. You can cast them down. And the more you learn spiritual warfare, is the easier it is. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Let me tell you, I read that scripture for years and just ignored it, went right by it. I had no idea what it meant. Then after a while, I started asking the God and started studying it. And after a long while, I know the answer. At least I know one answer, which answer is very, very powerful. And it's very simple. It's this. Again, it's more, you know, healing school, graduate school kind of thing. It's when these thoughts hit your mind, they don't belong in the mind of Christ. And you have the mind of Christ, right? A good affirmation is, in the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. These thoughts don't belong in the mind of Christ. So you pull them down, cast on these high imagination. So these thoughts are trying to get you to sin. Either sin in thought, or sin in word, or sin in action. The purpose of all these thoughts is to get you to sin. The purpose of all these imagination is to get you to sin. Like, you know, make you afraid of flying. Make you afraid of driving through a particular area because there was a riot there once upon a time. Make you afraid of driving down the street because there was a car accident. All these imaginations try to get you hooked up on the fear. That fear can grab you by the nose and lead you around. God says, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of power. You can do anything I tell you to do. Right? So, when you finally recognize that this thing is of the enemy, it's not you, and you start pulling it down, realize it's the voice of a demon. See? You realize it's the voice of a demon. Once you collect yourself, you start working and pulling on this imagination, and you realize it's the voice of a demon, then you get your revenge. You go after the demon behind the imagination. See, before you realize it, you think, oh, this is just me and my various parts and my sinful background and all these things that are causing me to have these thoughts. But when you realize you are child of God, that you have the mind of Christ. You are what the Bible says you are. And the Bible says you have the mind of Christ. When you realize that, then you realize these demons are talking to your mind. And you go after the demons behind them. You repent, you renounce, you break the hold, and you bind up those demons, and you kick them out of your home, out of your life. In fact, when you get good at it, you can kick them into certain places. And that's where you get your revenge. Now, let me tell you, they hate it. Once you get to that point, they hate it. They hate when you recognize they're there, and they hate when you know what you can do to them. So that's 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. Let's start in verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. You know, everything starts with one step. The march of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. But you have to take that step. You taking that step is giving God something that He can multiply. So no matter how small or insignificant your first step is, it is your partnership with God. You know, some people take big steps. Like when Noah partnered with God, he spent 100 years building an ark. That's a big commitment. 100 years building an ark when nobody had ever seen a boat, to ride on a flood when nobody had ever seen rain, because a flood was coming when all the people thought he was crazy. For 100 years, he put up with people thinking he was crazy. That's a big step. But even as big as that step could not cause the whole earth to be flooded. That step only allowed God to multiply it and flood the whole world. That's why it says Noah partnered with God And in so doing, Hebrews 11:7 says, nor condemn the world. So even something as awesome as the flooding destruction of the earth, it was God multiplying something that a man had done. In the same way God multiplied what Noah did, he'll multiply what you do to get you set free from the bondages and the challenges and to bring you to that, as the Bible called it, a wealthy place, a fat place, calls it a fat place, where God meets your need in every single year. Okay? Not fat in body, but fat in the blessings of the Lord. So, Ephesians 6 verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the willies of the enemy, huh? Yeah. Okay? Well, most people call it wiles, but willies, look like willies, okay? The wiles, the devil, which means the tricks, the deceits. The devil is a liar. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And as we go into graduate school, we talk about these things, how to deal with various levels, and how to have warfare based on these levels. Now here we get into the armor of God. And this armor is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Now some people practice reminding themselves by going through the steps of putting on the armor. They girt up their loins, tie their belt, they put on a breastplate here and cinch it up, and they put on shoes. They go through, put on their helmet, they go through the whole process. It's a good reminder. It's like a faith action plan. But that's just one small step in a very major direction. The point of fact is, the armor of God is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle based on truth. Loins girt up with truth. A lifestyle based on truth. And when you know the truth is that you're the righteousness of God. And that's your breastplate. When you know that all your sins have been forgiven, when you know that you're the righteousness of God, the devil can't weaken you through guilt and condemnation. He can't say, look at that sin that you committed. You say, which sin? I confessed it. I don't see it. God threw it into the sea of forgetfulness. When you know you're the righteousness of God, when you know that the truth says you're the righteousness of God, you're already protected from any mortal blows from the enemy. When you know the truth, and the truth says you're the righteousness of God, the devil can't make you sick and he can't kill you. You can try these things. Okay? But notice the step. First there's truth. Then the breastplate of righteousness. So you know the truth, you are the righteousness of God. What's another truth? You being the righteousness of God, you're here as an example to draw people to Jesus Christ. Therefore, your job is to be preparing yourself with the gospel of Jesus Christ to tell people. That's the next step. You have a chain, and the chain has seven links, and one is broken. The chain isn't as strong as seven link, unbroken links chain. So when you know the truth and you understand the righteousness, then the purpose of that is to prepare yourself. So every time you hear a teaching, as you're hearing the teaching, take notes, memorize things so you can share it with somebody. It's always sharing with somebody. That's where the power is, sharing with somebody. That's why you're always preparing your feet with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, once you do that, you're preparing your feet, then just don't go tell everybody. Just don't go everywhere. Be led by the Spirit of God. Okay? Be led by the Spirit of God. Now, in verse 16, it's okay, 15 talks about shodding your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, verse 16, above all, take the shield of faith. That really doesn't mean more, above all, doesn't mean more important than all the others. That's not what it means. It means, above all, when you take the shield and put it over yourself. When you take the shield and put it over all the other ones. If you don't have the shield of faith, then the truth that you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, the enemy can bombard you and you lose sight of the truth that the Word of God says you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So you must have the shield of faith to protect that truth. If you don't have the shield of faith to protect the truth that Jesus died and took all your sins, then the devil can attack your righteousness with guilt, condemnation, with getting you to sin, with unforgiveness of yourself or others, and self-hatred. All these things will attack your righteousness. Fear will attack your righteousness if you don't block it with the shield of faith. And blocking it with the shield of faith means that when the devil comes with guilt, you commit to this sin and guilt comes to you. You say, I'm not receiving that guilt. That guilt does not belong in the mind of Christ. I'm the righteousness of God. The mind of Christ says I'm the righteousness of God. So you say, in the name of Jesus, I treat that thought of guilt as a voice of demon. I repent of it. I renounce the effects of it. I bind up in Jesus' name the demon that put that voice into my mind, and I cast them out of here. That's how the shield of faith goes above everything to protect everything. It's the lifestyle. Now, when you have all that, when you know the truth, when you're constantly seeking the truth will make you free. The truth makes you free when you start to realize that the truth says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that your purpose is to minister the gospel to yourself and to others, so prepare it, and you cover everything with the shield of faith, and then you realize that you can put on the helmet of salvation, which is, I have been saved and redeemed from everything. I have been restored to everything that Adam had. Plus, with the blood, I have a new covenant, which is even better than Adam's. I am the fruit that followed the first fruit. I am called to be part of a church without spot or wrinkle. I'm called to be a manifested son of God. I'm called to be a super conqueror. All these are part of your salvation package. That God loves you so much that he's your shepherd, your healer, your provider, your victory. Is there everything you need? The El Shaddai, the God who's more than sufficient. He's your righteousness. He's your joy. He's your peace. He's your patience. All these things belong to you because you're the mind of Christ. And when you do all those things, then what do you do with it? You take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you speak it. And you speak it. And you speak these things into existence and to use them. And you speak prayers and to pray for the rest of the body of Christ and for people over the world. That's the armor. That's the armor of God. That's the armor because you're in warfare. So let us apply some of these in this quiz. So sit rep. We're going to go into the quiz now. Understand this is using the armor. We want to see how well are you using the armor. So, under knowing your weapons, what did God do to Jesus so that he, Jesus, could heal all who were oppressed of the devil? And the reference is Acts 10:38. I don't want you to turn there. I want you to, from memory, answer it. I'm really looking for like one word, two or three is fine. The question is, what, according to Acts 10:38, what did God do to Jesus so that Jesus could heal all who were oppressed of the enemy? What did God do to Jesus so that Jesus could heal all who were oppressed of the devil? Acts 10:30. So write down one word, up to three words. Actually, four words. Okay? Okay, everybody got an answer? I mean, the answer is either you don't know or you know. Okay? If you don't know, it's really easy. Question number two. What destroys the yoke of the enemy according to Isaiah 10:27? Good. Very good. Somebody's doing very well. I see an ear-to-ear grin over there. Very good. Excellent. What destroys the yoke of the enemy? No. I didn't mean for you to say that. No. Okay. Okay. I know. That's okay. I understand. So what destroys the yoke of the enemy? Okay. Brings us to question number three. Question number three. According to Luke 5:17, what brings your healing? What brings your healing? What brings your healing? I know that you could pick almost anything scriptural and say it brings your healing. Yes, but it's all focused on one thing. What is that one thing? What brings your healing? Luke 5:17. Question number three. What brings your healing? Well, a lot of people are writing a lot. We don't need a whole book for each answer, you know. We just need one or two or three words. Okay, question number four. According to John 8:31 and 32, Who gets set free from the challenges? Who gets set free from the challenges? Who gets set free from the challenges of life? Who gets set free from sickness and disease, poverty? From all the challenges of life, who gets set free? John 8, 31 and 32. Okay, everybody got all that? Okay, why don't we agree them as we go? So let's do A1. What did God do to Jesus so that he could heal all who are oppressed of the devil? Anybody wants to give me the answer? Anybody? Anointed him. The word I'm looking for is anointed him. He anointed him with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Ghost, and with power. Anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. Okay? So the word anointing is correct. Put the word anointing or anything like anointing. Okay, number two. What destroys the yoke of the enemy? The anointing. The anointing destroys it. Okay, the anointing destroys it. Okay? What brings your healing? Question number three. What brings your healing? The anointing. The anointing, okay? So the first three answers are the anointing. Okay? Now, number four. Who gets set free from the challenges? The disciples get set free. The disciples of Christ get set free. There is a denomination by that name, right? The disciples of Christ. But the disciple here defined is anyone who continues in the word. Jesus says, if you continue in the word, you are my disciple. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So the ones who get set free are disciples. The ones who are not disciples, the ones who do not continue in the word, will not get set free. The disciples get set free. The ones who do not continue in the word will not get set free. And continuing the word does not mean go to church twice a week or once a week or three times a week. It's not simply going to church. It's more than going to church. And we should get to that later on. So, why am I focusing on the anointing? Because I want people to fully comprehend that all the things that they do around here, the 10 secondary methods of healing, confessing your sins, doing affirmations, communion, praise and worship, dancing before the Lord, cleansing, praying in tongues. All these things, all 10 of them, are meant to produce the anointing, to release the anointing. The purpose of all of them is to release the anointing. When you do affirmations, what is getting you healed is the anointing. The words are releasing the anointing when they're coming out of your heart. Okay. Part B, know your process. Know your process. The process of prayer, the process of using your weapons, like how do you start it and how do you end it. And here, I'm focusing on a particular aspect of that process. So the process of warfare, the process of praying, has a beginning and has an ending. And I'm focusing on one part which I think does not get enough attention. So, according to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, Revelation 12, 11, they overcame him the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their what? Wow, very good. I see hands going up all over and voices. Word of their testimony. Testimony is what they say. The words that come out of their mouth. But specifically, a testimony is about something God has done for you. So, if you ever overcome the devil in the air of healing, your testimony has to be about what God has done for you for healing. And you do that based on the word of God, that you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, until you can give a specific example on your own. Right? By the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus' blood, and the word of your testimony. The 10 lepers were healed. So Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. As they went, they were healed. Many times your healing comes as you go. If you sit around waiting for the healing, sometimes it doesn't come. You got to go. Go to where God wants you. The 10 lepers were healed as they went. To one, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. What had this one leper done that the other nine did not do? Came back to thank him. The key word is thank him. Okay? Testimony is a thanksgiving. Testimony is a thanksgiving of what God has done for you. Thank you, Lord, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. The person's body may be challenged with pain, but they can still thank you, God. Thank you, God, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. That's the testimony. Now, once they get the manifestation, they can say, once I was really sick, in total pain, and guess what? God healed me. So, the last part of the prayer process is give your testimony. Because we're here to draw people to the Father, through Jesus Christ the Son. Amen? Give your testimony. Now, we're going to give you the 13 questions. I'm going to give you 10 points each. So, the maximum is 130. Okay? That's good because passing grade is 100. Or right around there. Okay? We'll see what passing grade is. Okay? If you've been around ABC for a while, passing grade really should be like 80 or 90, maybe even 100. Seriously. Okay, some examples. I'm going to read a scenario, actually two scenarios, and then going to ask you some questions about them. So I will read them once so you hear it, then I'll go back and read them and ask you the question. So, Peter stayed home from work to concentrate on doing his faith action plan. So he must be an ABC here, or close to it. Peter stayed home from work to concentrate on doing his faith action plan. He had been doing healing affirmations all day. It had been hard work, and he was grateful for the 4 interruptions from caring friends. He told them all the same thing. Well, I am in great pain and nauseous, but I am a man of faith, and I know that Jesus is going to heal me. I will reread that in a few minutes, okay? Bill, this is not any of Bill's here. Bill has not done any affirmations all day. He's definitely not like old Bill's. It was almost 5 p.m., time to go home from work. Despite the severe physical challenges, Bill had gone into the office and had done his work so well that nobody realized that he was in great pain. Before leaving work to go to his midweek church service, he made the time to spend 5 minutes affirming, "I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus." Everybody heard me okay? Okay, we're going to read it again and ask questions as I go. So Peter stayed home from work to concentrate on doing his faith action plan. He had been doing healing affirmations all day. Actually, you know what? Let me read the questions and we'll take them one at a time. So let me read the questions before I reread it. Question number 1. Don't call them out. One of the 2 men received total healing manifestation that night. The question is which one? One of the 2 received total healing manifestation that night. The question is which one? So we're going to repeat this whole process. I'm just giving you an overview. Which of the 2 is walking in faith? Don't call out the answers, anybody, okay? Because if you're wrong and you get everybody wrong, they're going to come after you and, you know, I wouldn't want them in your shoe, okay? Which of the 2 is walking in faith? Which of the 2 generated more anointing with the affirmations? Which of the 2 was speaking out of the abundance of his heart? How many mistakes did Peter make? How many mistakes did Bill make? So let's start over. I'm going to read it one more time. Peter stayed home from work to concentrate on doing his faith action plan. He had been doing healing affirmations all day. It had been hard work. And he was grateful for the 4 interruptions from caring friends. He told them all the same thing. Well, I am in great pain and nauseous, but I am a man of faith, and I know that Jesus is going to heal me. Okay? Bill had not done any affirmations all day. It was almost 5 p.m., time to go home from work. Despite the severe physical challenges, Bill had gone into the office and did his work so well that nobody realized that he was in great pain. Before leaving work to go to a midweek service, he made the time to spend 5 minutes affirming. Just 5 minutes. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Okay, question number one. One of the two received total healing that night. Question is, how many people think it was Bill? Okay, how many people think it was Peter? Okay, a few say Peter, all said Bill, okay? Let's come back to the question, okay? So you know whether you chose Peter or Bill. I won't tell you yet which one is right. Which of the two is walking in faith? Anybody? Okay, question is, why do you think Bill is walking in faith? He didn't change his schedule, he went to work. So despite his challenge, he went to work. And Peter specifically stayed home from work to do his faith action plan. That sounds very nice, but the point of fact, what he's saying is, I'm staying home from work because I'm sick and I need to do my faith action plan. He doesn't put the word sick in there, but that's the reason. A healthy person doesn't stay home. But the devil will trick you and say, well, you can take the whole day to do a faith action plan. Right? So the answer, yes, Bill is correct. Bill received his healing manifestation that night. Which of the two is walking in faith? Bill. Which of the two generated more anointing with their affirmations? But Peter's been doing affirmations all day. So what's wrong with that? What do you say, Jim?
Well, he says, I will be healed.
Uh-huh.
I'm going.
So you what you say? What
I'm saying it wrong.
You're saying it wrong. So that's what James said. That's what you all said. You're doing it wrong. And you said?
That he was, he had doubt.
He had doubt. He was, yeah. Put it another way. He was saying a lot of affirmations, but from his mind. His mind was agreeing with the Bible that he's been healed by the stripes of Jesus, but not his heart. You see the difference? Because if his heart agreed that he was healed, he wouldn't be saying, God is going to heal me. Because when your heart agrees, you know it's been done 2,000 years ago. Everybody see that? I would not say, I am going to be healed. I would not say, I'm in pain. If you believe in your heart you're healed, you would never say, I'm in pain. Right? So that's a lot of mistakes. So Peter is walking in mental ascent. Mental ascent. Because he changed his lifestyle by not going to work. He's saying my healing is coming rather than that my healing has been done. And he's speaking out of his mind, not his heart, because he's declaring, yes, I'm not healed. I'm going to be healed. So he's making some very classic mistakes, which most people make most of the time. Do you hear what I just said? Most people make this most of the time. Okay. You have a question, Donna?
And I'm so grateful for the poor interruption.
Uh-huh.
To me, that's not a good thing to say.
That's correct.
Jesus, in our hearts,
we should
be grateful that we're doing the
affirmation, but we should be appeased. And if you were in an anointing doing it, it wouldn't really seem like hard work. It takes effort, you know, but it doesn't seem, and time goes faster, okay? Yes, that's a very good point, okay? But that's when you're used to doing affirmations. How many mistakes did Peter make? Yeah, somewhere between 4 and 8, huh? Okay, let's see. He stayed home from work. That's wrong, okay? So he stayed home from work to do a faith action plan. You could count that as 2. He was grateful for the interruptions. Bill actually did a faith action plan. He went to work. Okay, so that's exactly right. Every time he spoke to the people, it was canceling the spirits. He was coughing over the phone. Well, I hear that a lot, but that coughing usually doesn't last over the phone. So he was canceling his prayers. Every time he says that Jesus is going to heal me, he cancels the affirmation. Then he'd affirm this pain and affirm his nausea, and he wasn't a man of faith because he was doubt and unbelief. So there's a lot of mistakes here depending on how you want to count them, okay? But certainly at least 4 that are obvious. Could be 8, could be more than 8. Yeah, some of the major things here, the really major one, was that if you believe in your heart that you've been healed, you will not change your schedule. Now, is that easy? Well, it depends on what the challenge is. Pastor Matthew went to work when the devil told him, "You're having a heart attack. If you go to work, you will die." He went to work. He's still here, and I don't see the devil. Okay? Okay? So when you change your schedule, you're agreeing that you're sick. Some time back, I would say maybe 2 or 3 years before, when I ministered on the phone to people who are highly challenged, and when I say highly challenged, there have been many who call me saying, "The pain is so intense, I'm about to leave for the emergency hospital." Sometimes it's their relative that calls. "So-and-so is about to leave for the emergency hospital. Can you help them?" And every single one has gotten healed over the phone. In that context where they talk about the emergency hospital. Every single one I can think of at the moment. And there have been quite a few of them. Now, in a few years ago, I would take them down to like a zero, all the way down to a zero, or maybe a one. In the last couple of years, I've been leaving them at maybe one, two, or three. For them to work on it themselves. Now, what they do right after that tells me how much of a battle it's going to be. So if you're on the phone, for example, and you, let's say somebody is home from work, and you, let's say it's 10 in the morning, they haven't gone to work because they're in pain, you work with them, and you take it down to a 1 or a 2, and you hang up. What do you expect them to do? Go to work. Because they recognize the change, they recognize God has moved upon them, they believe they've been, especially in ABC, they believe they've been healed. So what are you doing home? But the thought was, "I just went through a really terrible time. Let me sit back and relax." That's where the devil will get you. You need to resume your schedule. Okay, how many mistakes did Bill make? Which one did he make? Bill, okay, he had not done any affirmation all day. You could say that's the mistake since his challenge, right? Yeah. Probably it doesn't say he confessed his sin either. So he didn't know any of those things, so we don't know. Those could all be possible mistakes, but certainly he did not do affirmations all day. I mean, yes, he's very busy, but it takes like 2 seconds to say, "I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus." You mean he couldn't find 2 seconds every hour to say it one time? That takes care of the questions. Finally, follow-up scenario. You get 10 points for each one that's correct. The fifth call to Peter that day was from Helpful Harry, who said, "When my challenges persist, then I always go to the communion table." So Peter started receiving communion every hour. What is the likelihood that Peter will receive his manifestation within 24 hours? He started receiving communion every hour, which is a wonderfully powerful use of your weaponry. What is the likelihood that he'll receive manifestation within 24 hours? I have very high, medium, low, and very low. How many thinks it's very high? We have both 3, 4, 5 that think it's very high because he's doing communion every hour. Okay? How many think it's high? We'll have a few, about the same number. How many think it's medium? Nobody thinks it's medium. Okay. At least there are no middle-of-the-road people here. How many people think it's low? Okay, about the same number. And about how many think it's very low?
Okay.
About the same number. So it's spread right across the board. Okay? I guess the reason is that it all depends. So I think you've answered all very well. Could it be very high? Yes. It could be any of these. Why could it be very high? Because you're taking the position that communion is very, very powerful. Because communion is so powerful as a weapon, so powerful to manifest God's blessing in your life, and that most people are trained to confess this sin before they receive communion, so the probability could be very high. You can make that case. On the other hand, you can take the case known as very low. You can make the case it's very low because the communion doesn't deal with the basic thing, which is, in his heart, this person doesn't believe he's been healed. In his heart, he's not standing about confessing his sins. He's still doing mental assent affirmations. He's not walking in faith. So all those can point to very low. Everybody see that? So the question is, which one is going to be the answer? And I can't tell you. You have to basically judge his heart, and we can't do that. We can't do that, okay? If I were to take a guess based on my experience of cases like this, statistically in a case like this, what have I seen the most? Answer is very low. Answer is very low. Now, if the person is doing communion for the first time, then it swings it to the other side. So if this is the first time the person is doing communion, or the first time the person is doing communion a lot, it would swing it to the other side. But the person is used to doing communion and simply starts receiving communion, it could be very low. This person needs to comprehend a basic fact. You were healed. You've got to put your affirmation into the past. You have to agree with God's word. You can't put it in the future. Every time you put it in the future, you say, God is going to heal me. Let us say, for example, God is about to grab you and shake healing to you. And he's about to grab you to shake healing. He says, God is going to do it. And he can't do it because you're moving into the future. And God can't do it in the future. God can only do it in the present. So sometime your words have to catch up with God's word in the present. So God can do it in the present. Does that make sense? So God can't do it in the future. He has to do it in the present. He's the great I am. So my base statistically, and I've seen cases like this, it tends to be very low. But you can't argue any side, and you only really know when you see the results. Any questions? As long as you don't say medium, you get 10 points. And nobody said medium, so you all get 10 points. You all get 10 points. Because you all have reasons. I assume you all have reasons why you pick it. Okay? Okay. But no, statistically, this is important. Statistically, in my experience, it would be very low. Okay? Because the person is not comprehending. A, Peter is not comprehending that he has already been healed. A. And he's not comprehending that the anointing is what heals him. And the anointing is coming out of his heart. It's the word out of his heart that produces the anointing. It's not the parroting-like work that comes out of your mind. And this Peter obviously doesn't comprehend that. Mental ascent doesn't produce much anointing. In a beginner, it will produce some. In a mature believer, mental ascent doesn't produce much. That's why you see a lot of people who've been around healing and affirmations for a lot, and they'll do a lot of affirmations, and you don't see dramatic changes in their life. Because in their heart, they haven't come to grips with the fact that they have been healed, no, act like it and walk like it. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. The proof of the faith action plan is in the walking and the doing. Jesus says, be a hearer and a doer. If you're not, your house is going to fall apart. Hearer and doer. It's not enough to hear. You must do. You must do. Any other questions? Okay. Let me ask a question. Was this helpful? Let's see some hands if this was helpful. No, you shouldn't give up your medications for fasting because you need to be obedient to the doctor, right? You need to be obedient to the doctor. Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Let's see, what else do I want to do? Oh, I want to hear some scores. Did you all score your things? Why don't you all score? The maximum score is 130. Okay? 130, 10 points each. You know this question which has two parts, like which of the two is walking in faith and why? You get 5 points for each part. Okay? I sure would love to see these scores. Have you got a piece of paper, honey? I'm going to ask you to write it on the paper. Anywhere on the paper. It doesn't have to be in order. Because if you put it in order, you know the score of the person next to you. You right? No, keep your test quiz. Just
pass the paper.
Yeah, we're going to pass around two sheets of paper, one to the left, one to the right, and you put the number of your score on there someplace, anywhere on there, okay? No, all I want is a number. All I want is a number. And you can put it anywhere in there so the person next to you won't know what your score is. It's 10 points per question, and if the question has two parts, like who and why, then you get 5 points for each part, okay?
No,
we don't need the name. No, if you want to put the name, you can put the name, okay? I mean, and if you did so well, you want me to know, hey, I'd like to know that too. But you don't have to. If you scored 0 or 130, put your name on there. Who wants to be the first one to put their number in here? Walter, you want to be the first one? Michael, you want to be the first one? Well, you Walter, put your number there. Nobody won't know who does. Kathy, you have a question. Bill is walking in faith. And because he continued his schedule as if he's been healed. I think that's okay. If they're not staying home because they're sick, but they have a choice to stay home, I think that's okay. If they call the company and say I'm taking a sick day off, then yeah. For some companies, you have to do that, you know. Okay, and so just saying I'm taking a sick day off would be a negative affirmation. So if the person can stay home from work because they're allowed to and they have other things to do, a personal day, take a personal day off, I think that's okay. Yeah. One second, Kathy. But Karen, it's true if you're doing 5,000 affirmations, it's hard to do that at work. On the other hand, if you go to work, you may not need to do 5,000 affirmations.
But it's not related.
Okay. If it's not related to the sickness, okay. In the decades that I got saved, I never took a sick day off. In all those decades. Now, when I was at a certain corporation, and it was so hectic that sometimes I needed to just get away from it and relax, I would call into massacre, I'm taking a day off. And since they didn't have personal days, she would tell the big boss, he's taking a sick day off. But it didn't come from me. It's a good technicality. Yeah. And I wasn't sick, I was just... I need a day for R&R, yeah. What I needed was a personal day, but they didn't have personal days. Yeah, but I was working 18-hour, 20-hour days, so nobody's going to ask me, what did you miss yesterday? Okay, I have one sheet. I'm missing a sheet. Let me just glance at it. Well, I think this one came from over that room. That's a powerful room. My word. Whoa. My word. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 over 100. 7 over 100. 330s. Okay. The second to lowest score in that room is a 90. In that room, the second to lowest score is a 90. Very good. Let's see how this room did. This room did not do as well. I think somebody got 185 though. So that makes up for the rest of the room. Okay. There are 230s here, and then 125, which is mean they missed one a sub point. Actually, 225s. Okay, 325s. 6, 1, 2, 3. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, they're 8 over 100. 8 over 100. That's very good. 8 over 100. That's excellent. And the second to lowest score over here is a 60. Second to lowest score is a 60. Very good. You guys all did very, very well. Okay? You all did very well. Now, understand, I don't normally pay attention to the results of that quiz. What I'm interested in is the lifestyle result. Some people don't do well in tests and quizzes because they are challenged reading or they're challenged writing or they freak out when they see tests. So we've had people graduate from our healing school who flunked every single test. Understand? They flunked every single test and they graduated. More than one. Why? Because their lifestyle was reflecting it. You could see the changes in their life. And that's what we want, is lifestyle changes. The tests are helpful. If somebody's borderline, we use a test. But basically, the test is meant to help you see where you need to strengthen yourself. Okay? Where are you weakest? So don't be concerned if your score is not where you want it to be. Be concerned if you don't understand the concepts that are going on. If you don't understand the concept, give me a call and we'll see, okay? What do we do about it? And so basically... the scores were very good, okay? I'm in particular pleased with all the people who scored over 100. Well, thank you all for that. Why don't we end up giving the Lord a big round of applause? Okay.